Brother, come preach at us.
Amen. I was zoning out. Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. Okay, that's my water, huh? Okay, amen. Amen. I want to say it again. This has been, I'm serious. I preach. Y'all gonna stop. Y'all gonna stop doing that. But you know what? I didn't even know why you did the first time. They had to tell me in the car, they were talking, I said, Dad, don't you remember when you gave that statement about that preacher and you said, I wish people throw shoes at me like that? And so I thank y'all for trying to make me feel better. Amen. That's a blessing. Thank you for that. Amen. I honestly didn't figure that out. I just like, I thought y'all were just being funny. Amen. I really did. Seriously. It didn't offend me or nothing. None of that stuff don't bother me, but I just thought, they throwing shoes at me, amen. And my kids were like, Dad, don't you understand why they did it? And I was like, why? Sometimes I am seriously, I hate to use that word, airheaded, but I am. I just got so much in my head, I guess that's no excuse. I don't concentrate. Like, I was sitting up there, he was sitting up there talking, and I was looking at that brother put his put your cello up. And I'm looking at him putting that cello up. I ain't paying attention to what he's saying. And my wife looking at me like, what are you doing? You about to call a priest? I'm like, what? And but I do thank this church. I haven't preached as many places as Brother Spurgeon has, but I've preached in quite a few places. And this is one of the most loving, kind, generous, just, I'm serious, church that I've been to in a long time. And I have got a blessing just being here. And it has just touched my heart. It has blessed my soul. Now I got to find something here because I'm totally lost. I have a confession to make. I'm going to go ahead and confess this. I did not, and like I said, your pastor did send a schedule. But I don't really, sometimes, like I said, I'm not paying attention. And so what happened was that I really didn't plan on preaching tonight. I really didn't. And I was even going to go to your pastor. Not that I plan. I mean, I got stuff to preach. But the thing about it was that I was actually going to go to your pastor. In fact, when you called me, brother, I thought you was going to tell me, brother, I changed my mind. We'll have you preach tonight. When you called me that last time, and I was actually going to your pastor and say, you know what? I love Brother Spurgeon. He's one of my heroes. And I was going to just say, just let him preach. And there's three reasons why I changed my mind. The first reason was that I didn't come here to get. I came here to serve. So if that's what God wanted me to do, then I'm going to go ahead and do it. The next reason why was because your pastor, under the shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's in charge. So I just do what he tells me to do. The third reason why is one of you men said something to me earlier. One of the men was talking, and he said that, my pastor has planned several meetings. And I got to find this passage because you know what? It's kind of weird. Yes. Several meetings. And he said, God's always showed up. God's always blessed. And I don't want to miss God. So I prayed about it, and I'm going to give a little bit of my testimony, and I'm going to preach something that's dear to my heart, something that's very sensitive to my heart, something that's a burden on my heart, and it's really to some of you, you've just got here, some of you ain't been here a year or over 2 years. I know some of you, like Buzz Purchase said, you grew up a second and third generation, and I thank God for that, and I encourage you to stick with it. But the real test is when you get out there on your own. And I know some of you, you've already been out there on your own, and you're married now. And I pray, but, I got a lot of people that they in my church, not a lot of people in my church, but people come to me, and they say, preacher, this, another good friend of mine, Brother Mike Saunders died. Did you know Brother Saunders? Brother Spurs, you knew him, didn't you? Mike Saunders. Oh, good Lord. Mike Saunders went to Shady Acres Baptist Church. He worked with Jack Woods. They had a store together. He was an evangelist. And Brother Saunders Brother Saunders died recently of COVID. And he was a crazy old man and of an old school breed. And they came out of that Jack Woods thing and just tough, ornery. I mean, just had one leg and just tough as nails. And my church loved Brother Saunders. He was a good friend. He helped my sons with the lawn service when he first started over about 5 years ago. And he showed up one day at our house with all this lawn equipment, brand new from Sears, and gave it to my boys out there cutting grass. Push mowers, weed eaters, blowers, and everything. And recently, Brother Saunders died, and I had some more old men of God that are friends of mine died recently. And my church came to me and said, you know, preacher, God showed me something. And me and other preachers already been talking about it. Over there, Isaiah 57, verse 1, when it says he takes away the righteous for the evil to come. And they all excited about that. And I always, do you not understand what you're saying, which I already know, is that there's evil to come. And what I want to encourage you tonight, and I hope this will encourage you tonight, that no matter what evil that does come our way, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to get us through it. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to give us victory. The Lord Jesus, there is nothing in your life today, no problem that you have, that God can't give you victory. You need to understand that. Now, I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I did say God will give you victory. Do you not understand? The rapture itself solves every problem anyway. But before the rapture comes, like I said, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all this scripture. I'm going to stay and go to John chapter 6, please. The Lord asked a simple question. But before the rapture comes, we all know over there in 2 Timothy, the Bible says, or as the 1 Timothy, the Bible says, the Spirit expressed in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. The Bible also talks about over there in 1 Thessalonians, how they're coming falling away first. It's just the way it is. People are going to quit. But you do not have to quit. I encourage every especially people that just now getting in this church, get in, get hooked up, get caught up, and stay up and stay in. That's what this message is about this evening, is just stick with it. Come high or low water. Come offended. Come unoffended. Come happy. Come unhappy. Because sooner or later, God will help you through it. God is able. He's strong enough. Amen. Now, what I'm going to give you over there in John chapter 6, start with verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back, look what it says, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Now here's the question. He said, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your kindness, which is better than life. And Lord, these people have been so dear to me. And I wish I could have preached on heaven. Thought it'd be a good thing. But Lord, this ain't really what you wanted me to give them. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that it'll be a help to them, to somebody. And I pray, Lord God, you fill them with the Spirit of God again. And I promise you, Lord, I will not touch your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to make a confession tonight. I'm going to say something, and I usually don't say this. And one day I may give you my whole testimony. But I've been saved for 29 years. 29 years I've been saved. But I got to say something that breaks my heart, and I have to say this. In the beginning of them 29 years, at least out of the 20, in the very beginning, 3 of those years, I did not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest, I quit on God. And I'm ashamed of that. And there's a part of me that won't even forgive myself for it. And you can spare me somebody, you know, super spirits and doctor come to me and say, well, you know, God forgave you. And I know he did. He done told me many a times. Well, I ain't forgave myself. I didn't. I know that's not a very special thing to say, but it's just the truth. That was over 20-something years ago. I've been serving God faithfully for almost 23 years, but it don't mean nothing to me. Because every time somebody like that old man of God or this old man of God gets up and says, you know, I got in, and I never got out. And there's always a small part of my heart that cuts me deep. And there's nothing I can do about that but just go on and live for him for the rest of my life. I can't change it. And I only tell you this to tell you this much right here, young people, just don't get out. You just stay in there. A lot of people misunderstand me and they misunderstand some things. And one thing they misunderstand is that when I give some of my testimony about the Bible reading and the working, you got to understand the question. It is what God made me. It is what God did in my life. God turned a quitter into something that got something done. God turned a quitter and a doubter into something that God built and changed, because that I got to a place in my life where I said, I will not go away. I am not going to quit anymore. I will, whatever I got to face, I will fight my way through it. I will pray my way through it. I didn't care what I had to memorize. I didn't care what I had to study. I got tired of quitting. I got tired of giving up. And it got to a point. It wasn't at no church. I was at a living room. And I said, you know what, Lord? I'm tired. And I just want to finish something for you. And I made that decision in my life. And in the bedroom, no, it was a living room, one morning going to work praying. And I told God these words. I said, I quit on you, and I know I did. I ran from you. I got bitter and mad about all the stuff that's going on in my life. And I just quit. But I give you a promise in this living room right now. If you give me one more shot, I wasn't preaching or nothing. I just quit on the Christian life. And if you give me one more shot at living for you, you give me one more chance at living for you, I will not quit. I will not stop. I will go wherever you want me to go, and I'll do whatever you want me to do, even if it costs me my very life. I give you that promise. And I mean to keep it. That very next Sunday, I went to church. I was already going to church. And I was married. And I walked in the church. And the pastor of that church came to me. And he said, God told me to preach you in August. I looked like he was crazy. He said, God just told me to preach you in August. I'm going to preach you. So you got a couple of months to be ready. I was already going to church. I was just content just being faithful and tithing. I didn't see any of that was going to happen. I didn't see what God was going to do. I didn't see what the outcome was going to be. I just made a decision. And you know, everybody in this room, and in this meeting, know what you're going to have to do? You're going to make a decision. You're going to make a decision about your marriage. You're going to make a decision about raising your children. You're going to make a decision about crossing the line if nobody crosses it with you. Because he asked a simple question, will ye also go away? It was interesting because on my ordination, Brother Spurgeon was there. They went through all them questions, and I still should have got even with you for what you, he played a trick on me on that ordination. And after everybody did everything, David Martin was sitting on this side, and I never forgot it. And David Martin, my pastor at the time, said, I got no questions for you. He said, no, I do got one question. He said, what would it take to make you quit? And I felt like that was God talking all over again. And I looked at him, and I really thought in my head, well, that's a crazy question. Well, I didn't tell him that. And I said, well, you know, I never thought about it. I said, I'm not going to make no foolish talk or no macho comment. I just gave him that same testimony I just gave y'all. And I just said, I gave him a promise. And this time I intend to keep it. And sometimes we break enough promises to God, and there comes a time where you're going to have to decide to keep something. I'm going to give you several reasons why you just shouldn't go away. And I'm going to sit down and get out of the way. The first reason is in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I say the first reason, John chapter 6, verse 63, why you not should not go away is the very words that you're going to get from this pulpit. It's the very words you're going to get from camp. It's the very words you're going to get from going to revivals. It's the very words that you're going to get from going to other meetings. It's just the very words that you're going to get is the first reason. Let me explain something to you. We are surrounded by a world that gives you words of negativity, words of wickedness, words of sensuality, words of seduction, words of witchcraft, just words of all kinds of garbage to get you to get caught up into something that never matters. But the very words of God that you will get every Sunday and every Wednesday and at revival time that you will get in this pulpit will sooner or later do this. It will quicken your life. It will quicken your marriage. It will quicken everything about you. It will change you. If you are looking for a change, if you are tired of yourself, may I say this, try the word of God. May I say this, read your Bible. Amen. I don't read it because I'm spiritual. I read it because I know I need it. It changed my marriage. It changed my wife and my children. It changed my preaching. It changed my prayer life. It just changed me. And if you are tired of you, will you not try the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God? You say, well, preacher, I hear that all the time. I want to show you something about the Word of God. Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1, please. He said, preacher, I hear that. Dr. Ruckman said it. Brother Peacock said it. Well, you know what? Maybe if you read enough, it'll say it. You know what the problem is all about believers? That it's the Word of God is in your head and not in some of your hearts. Some Bible believers, you were taught it. You were preached it. It was rightly divided for you. But you know what? Until the word of God becomes real, it ain't going to change you. I'll show you something interesting. Look at John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him is life, and the life was the light of men. And light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. Now I'll show you something interesting. At verse 6, it says three or four words, there was a man. Because 6 is the number of man, okay? Now I'll show you something interesting about that. So from verses 1 through 5, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 1, it is the word of God. Now listen to me now. This is how great your King James Bible is. It starts in verse 6. It talks about who? John. John's a what? A man, right? 6 is the number of man. They said, what's the big deal? Do you know from verses 1 through 5, there are 66 words. Count them if you don't believe me. I could be lying to you. There are 66 words. When it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ to match your 66 books of the Word of God. You say you really believe. I believe in my heart, not because I was taught it. It is because I've read it so much. It is because I've read it through and through so much. This book has spoken to me. This book has guided me. This book has comforted me. This book has just did so much. It has changed me. And I believe this is the closest manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're going to get. You are not going to get no closer to God as close as you get to that book. I don't care. Let me tell you something. You need to be faithful to church. You need to be churchy. But you want to know something? Church without reading your Bible ain't going to do you diddly squat. That's a good old Southern term for nothing. That's what it is. It may not be theological, but it just makes sense. I tell you this right now, and it's nothing. It is nothing. But when my kids were young, I just played it. Some of you probably done it. Maybe all of you done it. But I used to play the Bible for them every night when they go to bed. Sure did. Read it to them. Family devotions. Sure did. Why? I want to see God do something. And I saw God do something. And I'm going to tell you this right now. That word will do something. You know why you should not go away? Is the very words that will quicken your life and change your life. It's the very words that will give you, let me tell you something, it is not his job to pump you up. Let's get this thing down. Since I'm just leaving, I might as well just go down and dirty with it. You know what some people's really problem is, preacher and preacher's wife? You know what their problem is, Brother Spurgeon? You spend more time in a TV, on Facebook, and in your cell phone, and then you come here and you look at him and say, pump me up, why don't you? I mean, you want him to entertain you because you've been entertained all week. You want him to pump you up. He just ain't exciting enough. He just ain't stirred up enough. I mean, he just got all that boring doctrine. I mean, why can't he preach like Peacock? Amen. And you sit there and you say, he just can't pump me up enough. I mean, seriously, here we go again, verse by verse. You know what's wrong with you? Is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. Sometimes God's people live too much in the flesh. And you really want him to come pump your flesh up. And you can't understand why he ain't pumping your flesh up. Because them words ain't made. Jim Lindsay used to say to us back in the day, look, I'm feeding people fish, sheep food. And if you're a wolf and you like raw meat and wolf food or goat food, you just in the wrong church. You know, I mean, if he's feeding you sheep food and you come up here, you want raw bloody meat because you've been watching Lord knows what. Amen. And then you come here Sunday morning, you like, man, I'm just so sleepy. You know, there's a Starbucks up the street. Go get some. It ain't his job to keep you awake. It is your job to keep yourself awake. If that man is feeding you the word of God and good proper doctrine, why ain't it stirring you up? Why ain't you sitting saying, man, this is good stuff? I tell you how I met him. You want to know the truth about it? I was teaching Bible Institute. Like all working pastors, we cheat. So we get somebody else's stuff while we teach it. We get Dr. Ruckman's stuff. We get other stuff. Thank God for the internet sometimes. Amen. So I went to go find 1 Thessalonians teaching Bible Institute. Don't tell my church I did this. No, they already know. But I went to go 1 Thessalonians. And make it so bad, there was 3 under that line. And one of them, I know personally, he's a good man. But we just don't agree to everything doctrinally. And I have a Hoffman Bible. And this is honestly what happened. I have a Hoffman Bible. And so I tried David Hoffman. I'm serious. And I ain't got nothing against Brother Hoffman. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know if it was his voice. I don't know what it was. But I'm niggas like, oh, this ain't working. So I said, well, I'll try Kyle Stevenson. I got his book. Never read it. But I got his book. Never read it. But I got his book. I got your book. And now I got 2 of your books. I know. So I clicked on Kyle Stevenson, and whatever. My wife keeps correcting me. I don't feel bad you messed my name. I've been messing your name. I keep calling you Stevenson. And she keeps, Steve, it don't matter. He knows what I'm talking about. So I clicked on Kyle Stevens. There, you happy now? Kyle Stevens. And I saw, listen to him. I said, hey, you know, he don't sound half bad. At least I can do his voice. And I started listening to his doctrine. I said, well, he's doctrinally straight. Then he wasn't kooky. You got some people, man, they thought, but they kind of kooky. They live in Kookyville. They really do. And then you got some, I hate to say it, in our camp that's doctrine straight and just as liberal as all get out. They think they got good doctrine, but they ain't got no standards. And they think, since we know what the doctrine is, why do we need standards? Because after all, we're in grace. And as long as we have good doctrine, what do we need standards for? Like all those legal living preachers. Like I say, I agree with Brother Spurgeon. If you don't like legal, that's probably because you're illegal. And since I lived an illegal life, I kind of like legal. I kind of like being able to carry a gun legally. I kind of like walking to a police department and they can't touch me, can't touch this. No, I'm just like, I reverted. I'm sorry, but I backslid 1 second. That was that old school. You know what I'm talking about. Don't repeat that, amen. And I'm just saying, I liked it when I first saw a police officer and he didn't pat me down. I liked it when I first saw police. You know what I'm saying? I like it first saw a police officer and he says, "What do you need, Mr. Carter?" Instead of "Go against that wall." Seriously. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is, I promise you this. If you have a hard time reading your Bible and you are being honest about it, amen, and just try reading it for 6 months straight. Now, let me tell you something. Don't read a verse of the day. Don't read the proverb of the day. Now, it ain't nobody's business how much you read. I'm not preaching that. But some people, you say, you know, you read what God tells you to read. They read two verses and they go about their business and they think that's going to be okay. No, I'm serious about that. I remember years ago, it was this couple. They're still now doing good. I'm on fire for God. But years ago, they were just carnal, backslidden. And I could see, you could tell as a pastor who in your church ain't right with the Lord. I mean, they ain't being nitpicky or judgmental. I mean, sometimes a pastor can tell who losing it and who getting out of fellowship. Well, they were just getting out of fellowship. You could just see it. The way they act, the way they talk, their mannerism. And one day, they had a big old fight. And they called me up, and they said, and it was her husband. And I said, you know what the real problem is? I'll tell you the real problem right now. You and your wife back, so you've been back sin for a while. So he went, you know how you do. He went and ran towards the wife. The pastor said, "You're backslidden. That's why you act like that." So she got mad. Oh, yeah? She got her phone. He was standing there. "I'll show you. How can you say I'm backslidden? I read my Bible every day." I said, "For real?" "Yes." "You read your Bible every day?" "Yes, I do." "So who you calling backslidden?" So I really did this. I went to God and said, "Look, I don't know what's going on. But she either got some sin she ain't repenting of. But I don't see that woman ain't growing. She ain't been growing for a long time." And I said, "Lord," she said she reading the Bible, I think she being honest. I said, "So Lord, I don't understand." I went and prayed about it. I said, "Lord, I don't understand, Lord, because what is going on? You got people that are saying they're reading their Bible every day and they ain't growing. That makes no sense to me." And so later on that week, came close time to Sunday, and he got to teach Sunday school, and God said, "I want you to teach Sunday school on reading your Bible." At that time, we were super small. You know what? Honestly, this to me is a mega church. I'm talking, we were really small. It was like, I think it was like my family and that family. You do the math. Seriously. Don't frown on me. I'm just being honest. If you are a pastor, you know everybody's reading their Bible. And God tells you to teach on reading your Bible, you'll start thinking, why in the world would I need to teach on something? I told God, why do I got to teach on reading the Bible when everybody's reading the Bible? God said, you just need to teach on reading your Bible. I said, I got my message again as I was doing my message throughout the week. I'm saying, why, Lord, am I going to teach on reading the Bible when it's only two families, us and them? They say they're reading their Bible. As far as I know, we read our Bible, so why I got to teach you reading the Bible? God said, you need to teach them reading the Bible. I said, okay, so I made this outline. I looked at it, prayed to God, are you sure about this? Okay. And so I'm sitting there teaching it. In the middle of teaching it, God said, now why don't you ask them
how much Bible they read.
And I said, okay. I said, okay, I'm just curious, you know. Lord put this on my heart. How many of you reading 10 chapters a day? I ain't even gonna say what happened there. How many are reading 7 chapters? How many of you reading 5 chapters? And that family still didn't raise their hand. How many of you reading 2 chapters? They still didn't raise their hand. The husband and wife didn't. How many of you reading 1 chapter? And the Lord said, that's why they ain't growing. I said, are you kidding me? You're just reading 1. Now, some of you get a little quiet. I said, you're just reading 1 chapter a day? And you know what she said? You said, Pastor, if you get a busy day sometime, if all you can do is get 1 chapter, just make sure you read the 1 chapter. I said that, but I didn't mean you to go with it. You know what we do? We take the least resistance. We take, he says an inch, we go with 6 feet. So they just thought, well, bless God. Now my words was, if you get a really busy day, I understand, at least make sure these try to read 1 chapter. Good Lord. I understand sometimes your day gets busy. At least try to read 1 chapter. They just thought, well, bless God, I'll just read 1 chapter a day, I'm good. And when they first started as a baby Christian, that worked. But as you get older, God expects a little bit more out of you. You know, and some of you might say, well, that's just legalism. Dude, do you still feed your baby at 2 years old strainer potatoes? You mean to tell me you'll feed your child more because you want your child to grow, but you'll sit there and look at me like I'm crazy? Because I ain't talking about some of you baby Christians. I'm talking about some of you older Christians. And you want to sit there and grow, but you can't get past 1 or 2 chapters a day? And like I said, ain't nobody's business how much you read. You know why I give that testimony about working on my house to read my Bible? It's because you'd be amazed how many times people say, well, I just got such a busy schedule, I just can't read the love letter God wrote me. Once again, I just told you I'm a quitter. And God made a quitter work 60 hours a week, 14 hours a day. God gave me the strength to keep reading my Bible pretty much almost every day. It takes a limit for me not to read it. And most of the time when I don't read it in those days, I'm pretty much backslidden. My heart just ain't right. The golden rub meets the road there. But on the consistency, yeah, I pretty much read it with those hours, with that schedule. Yes, I do. A quitter. If God can make a quitter get up at 1 o'clock in the morning just to pray and read his Bible, because he got to be at work at 3 o'clock in the morning. You mean tell me God can't help you? And I'm a quitter. Just a quitter. But God can turn a quitter into a winner. God can give you the strength. Now, I don't expect you to give at 1 o'clock in the morning. I never said that. But don't sleep in late and then say, I just couldn't get up early enough to read my Bible. Amen. I'm telling you this right now, you'll never get close to God until you get close to his word. You just won't. I don't care how much you pray. Over there, the Bible says in Proverbs, he that turneth his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall, future tense, be an abomination. Sooner or later, you keep skipping your Bible, God won't even want to hear you pray. I don't know when it gets that way, but that's what Proverbs said. I didn't say that's what Proverbs said. You know, Brother Spurgeon quoted that verse. It said, he that keepeth his word in him is the love of God perfected. In other words, the word of God will help you perfect the love of God in your heart.
not just reading it to be some big stupor. I read so chapters a day. I'm so spiritual. I ain't talking about that garbage. But you let God's word go through you and cut you to the heart. Let God's word speak to you. Let God's word change you. Let God's word convict you of your sin, convict you of your failure, convict you of discouragement. Let God's word comfort you when you need comfort. I mean, look, have you ever committed a sin or wrongdoing and went to God and you read your Bible and somehow you come about the words, thou is forgiven? That, if you've never had that, that's one of the greatest joys you can ever have. I mean, you know you're forgiven when you ask God to forgive you. But it's something about coming across there. It's something called coming across that verse, say, thou art made whole, sin no more, that something worse come to you. I mean, it's something coming across that Lord forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's something to come across that by the blood of Jesus Christ, for his son cleansed from all sin. It is something when you come across that word, it just sticks up and sticks out, and God says, by my blood, you are cleansed. By my blood, you are forgiven. It ain't because we said it. It's because his very word. I told you. I don't know about you, but I kind of like when those days come along. I don't know about you. I kind of like when God says, you know what? You're forgiven. Well, thank you, Lord. I already knew it, but it's kind of good when it tells you. Don't you like when your wife says, I love you? Well, don't you like it when God says, I love you, you're forgiven? I say, why? You don't need to go away because of the very words that will change you. I tell you, go back to John chapter 6. Why you also don't need to go away. You don't need to go away. Not because of the very words that can change you, but the very grace that God's given you. Look at verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And verse 65 says, and he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come to me except the were given me of my Father. I said, next thing, why you shouldn't go away, of the grace of God, that's the mercy given you. So what do you mean by that? Do you know what he said here? He said, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. Now watch this. Go back over there to John chapter 6, the same chapter. Go just a couple of verses ahead and look at verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, the disciples also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, when camest thou? Look what the Lord says. Jesus answered them and said, verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know what? God said, the only reason why you're around me because what I'm giving you. Then God said, some of you are going to betray me. You know God still healed some of them people. God still fed some of them people. God still took care of some of them people. God didn't tell them to go away. They got offended and went away. So what is that? That's the grace of God. Have you ever asked God to forgive you and you said, I ain't going to do that no more? And God forgave you and you did it again? Not only did you do it again, you did it again. And you did it again and again. Do you realize that even at the point when we ask God to forgive us, God still knows sometimes we still gonna mess it up. And he still forgives us. Even we say, oh Lord, I'll never do this again if you get me out of this mess. And God don't say, well, you know what? 6 months from now in September or December, you're going to do this again. So therefore, I cannot forgive you. He doesn't do that. Amen. Thank God. What he does is he says, I'm going to forgive you because at that moment you are sincere and you really believe you're not going to do it again. And therefore, and you repented, and I'm going to forgive you. And he even acts like he just has no idea, even though he knows, when you're going to do it again. And you know what that is? That's the grace. And why would you leave a God like that? Amen. Why would you want to walk away from somebody that loves you that much? Man, you know what? Let me tell you something. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, but to give eternal security. and knowing that the blood is there, I have no patience for Calvinism. There are some cults that I just can't stand. One, don't get offended, is the Black Israelite movement. I'm sorry. Anybody that tells my black woman that she needs to be a concubine, my daughter, my wife needs to be a concubine, is out of their stinking mind. I don't care who it is. Let me tell you something. Okay, don't get offended. I'm going to tell you something racially. Stick with me now. Don't join a cult because it makes you feel good about yourself. I don't care if you're white or black. I don't care what it is. All they're doing is trying to puff your head up to get you involved in it. Man, they come after a street preacher. They'll come on down there. They'll see it. And I ain't stupid. I know what they see. They see all these pretty young women in long dresses, godly women, that we protected and raised, and they thinking prime pickings. So they run, in my line, they done stopped, pulled all the way over and said, we need to talk to y'all. Who's your pastor? And I said, I am. We want to have a debate with you. So I said, okay. And they don't know. Our kids and our women, they'll beat you down, dude. That long dress and that pretty hair, don't let them kids fool you. They will fight, bruh. Hey, I'm sorry. You know, we just that kind of church. Oh, we'll love you. We'll pay your bills. I mean, we've let people live in our house that was down, not even faithful Christians. Just people was trying to help. Brother Peacock got mad at me one time. I said, what you going to do? Let everybody live with you? When you going to get tired of it? I just said, well, I'm just trying to help people. But we will fight you in Jesus' name. And love you. And say, God bless you at the end. Women and all. We will. And so they came around there and a bunch of men. It's always a bunch of dirty old men. Just a bunch of dirty old men. That's what it is. That got to have more than one wife. That don't make no stinking sense to me. You know how many young people I've witnessed to? I know one lady one time I bought an elliptical machine from. And I mean, she was a black Israelite. And she was telling me what it is. I'm thinking to myself, you got a 12-year-old daughter. And you mean to tell me just because somebody makes you good about your flesh that you will take your daughter and put her in some garbage and be in the United States of America and be somebody's concubine? Because that's what they believe. It just makes me stinking sick. So they came around there and they got out. And then talking about his son, this is King so-and-so. Brother Doug just laughed at him. King so-and-so? Yeah, he's a king. Yeah, right, he's a king. Dude, you in a busted down Jeep Cherokee. King. So we start going back and forth asking questions. And I said, let me ask you this question. I just want to ask you this question. Have you ever been to Israel, been to Africa? No. Have you ever been to Israel, been to Africa? No. You have been to Israel, been to Africa? No. You ever been to Israel, been to Africa? No. What I have and you ain't them. Goodbye. And he all started going, so what you mean? You gonna keep talking to him? And Sister Camille said, he just dropped the mic. I ain't got no time for that mess. I'm just being honest. But there's the grace of God right there. The grace that says, God says, I'll forgive you. Even if I know you ain't going to honor this agreement right now. Why would you walk away from that? Why would you walk away from something like that? Why would you walk away from somebody? Do you know, honestly, just by that alone, the eternal secure the believer. They're in this blood. Like I said, Calvinism, that blood runs out that only a limit atonement can get saved. That's an insult to my Lord and Savior. They say only a limited atonement can get in. So if that's the case, then ain't there a limited atonement for your sin after you get saved? If you saying the blood only died for so much, I like to say this, not only, look at verse 65, and he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except they were given it unto me of my Father. He said, no man could come unto me. Do you know, if you really believe that you're in the will of God being here, I'd say another reason why you don't go away is because God brought you here. And if God brought you here, you need to just dig in and say, Lord, this is where you brought me, then this is where I need to stay. I'll tell you another thing about this thing here. Look at verse 66. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I say another reason why you want to walk away, because you don't know if you're going to come back. We live in this day and age, people start thinking, well, and that's one reason why I can't stand my testimony. Well, Brother Tory went away, he came back. I hate that. Ooh, that burns me up. Because first of all, you don't know if you're going to come back. And people say, well, my child went away, my child came back. Well, praise God for him, but somebody's child might not. You can't, you make a mistake always making your God in the image of your testimony. Because the reason why, you better make it in the image of that God in that Bible. You better make it in the image of the God that wrote this Bible. Stop making an image. I don't care you've been saved for 50 years, 100 years. You are an individual, and he is not going to deal with you always the same way he deals with somebody else. Over there, I mean, David and Saul is a perfect example. I mean, you think about this. I'll give you another perfect example. Okay, you want to know something? You want to hear something crazy? Don't look at me crazy. But then listen to exactly what I got to say, okay? Which one do you think is worse? Think about something here. A man that gets drunk and has no idea what he's doing, no idea of what he is doing, and he does something wicked because his daughters did something with him. And don't get me wrong, what Lot did was wicked and ungodly, but Lot was drunk. Or a man that sells his wife and makes a profit off of it twice. Because that's what Abraham did. He was sober. And he made a profit. You say, well, Pharaoh gave it to him. He could have gave them stuff back. He gave his wife back. The other thing is that they gave him back. Why did Abraham say, well, you know what? I got to be an honest man. He gave my wife back. I'm going to give these back. Abraham kept it. That's why I love reading my Bible. I love it because I just read it without a preconceived idea. Do you know why you never thought about it like that? It's because God puts Abraham, and he should, in a good light. God puts Lot in a bad light. God made a decision to have grace with one and put shame on the other. Because based on the person's heart, Abraham stayed with God and made some mistakes. Lot pitched his tent directly towards Sodom and ended up in a wicked, perverted mess. But Lot was drunk. Abraham was sober. You know what? I'm sorry. If I was Sarah, I'm sorry. I know it's back then, but I'd be like, talk to the hand. I don't want to talk to you, boy. You done sold me twice. Fool, you done, who, no, no. Go see your concubine. Don't. I'm sorry. You done sold me twice. They gonna tell me, look, we about to go down there, and you're a beautiful woman, and I just can't die for you. So here's what we gonna do. You gonna tell me he's your sister, he's your brother. How you think he felt as a wife? I don't know about you, but I'll write a can, punk. And you look at me like, how can you say that? Okay, if your brother-in-law shows up and tells me, I love your sister, but I sure ain't gonna die for her, and make a deal to sell her twice, what'd you think about your brother-in-law? That's the grace of God, buddy. Don't tell me God gonna deal with the same person the same way. You know what we think? I could go out there and play with sin, and you know what? So-and-so came back. I can come back. You don't know what gonna happen. That's why I said all that. It is God that shows grace. It is God wants everybody to come back, but God may show one person a little bit more grace than he show another person. Don't play with God like that. Don't sit and look at God and say, I can go out there and mess up, and God gonna watch out for me. He did it for so-and-so. You don't know if you ever going to bounce back from it. Don't worry about it. I like Abraham too. I just proved a point. And do you know why you never thought about that? It's because, first of all, I read my Bible. I really get into it. I don't get into what Dr. Ruckman taught me. I don't get into what Dr. Estep said. I learned from all of them. Jim Lentz, Dr. Ruckman, but I just love just to read it and just get into it and just read that thing. And some of the stuff, when you really get in that thing, it's just the wildest stuff you ever did see. I'm serious, man. That stuff is, only God writes that. You think Abraham would have wrote that about him being like that with his wife? You think Lot would have wrote, you think David would have wrote that stuff about himself? David does all this stuff. Man, look, Saul just goes, he plays with witchcraft. David commits adultery. David commits murder. I mean, and be honest with you, David did a lot of other stuff. And I mean, God says, Saul, you take it out. David, you're going to finish right. That's the grace of God. But it didn't happen to both people. You may understand that. You cannot tell. And some people think that, well, my God did it. Why? He did it for me. How do you know he's going to do it for somebody else? You don't know that. Play with God if you want to. Yes, he's loving. I thank God for it. He's graceful. I thank God for it. But let me tell you something, friend. The fact that I stand here is by the grace of God, and I'm not fools to think that he's going to show that same grace and mercy to everybody. I am nothing special. I owe God. And I plan to pay him the rest of my life. I plan to give him everything I got. If God gives me strength, it is God that gives me strength. It's God that gives me courage. It is God that gives me what I need. It is God that takes care of that thing. And I stand here today because of the grace and mercy of a holy God. But I'm not that crazy to think that I could keep doing something and I won't get away with it somebody else did. I'm not that crazy. He said, for many times, verse 66, disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then he said, Jesus to them, we also go away. Then Simon Peter answers, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of eternal life. You know, you ought to have this attitude. I ain't got nowhere to go. I ain't got nowhere to go. I don't care what appeals to you. I ain't got nowhere to go. A husband ought to look at his wife. Nobody love me like you will. And nobody might not love you like she will. A wife need to look at her husband and say, nobody will love me like you will. You got to instill that in your brain. You have nowhere to go. Nothing else outside of what God gave you to live for. And be content with what God gives you. I said this before, too many people live outside of what God gave them. I wish this, I could have this, I wish I had this, I wish I had that, wish I had that type of husband, wish I had that type of wife, wish I had that type of car. Instead of just saying everything God gave me is what God gave me and let me be content with what God gave me. Just let me be content. Then I'm wrapping this up. Look at verse 68 again. Then answered Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of eternal life. And we believe, you got to believe this, and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Know what you ought to think. One last thing is this. This is seriously how this works. Over in the Revelations, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And you have to realize this one thing only. Sooner or later, everybody in this room, you're going to meet with God. You know what you're going to realize? Nothing really mattered. But part of my testimony when I had gotten conviction, I was talking to my mother on the phone, and she said, Tory means great in African, because we have a very ethnic, African ethnic family. You know, we just do. And the Holy Spirit of God said, you'll never be great until you do something for me. And I couldn't shake those words. In the end, this is one way to look at it. God made you. God gave you life. He gave you eternal life. In the end, he is your life. And one day, you're going to face a holy God. One day. You know what you're going to realize? Your 401k didn't matter. Your education didn't matter. Your cars didn't matter. Your bank account don't matter. Your job didn't matter. Nothing else mattered except for these words. Either well done, thou good and faithful servant, or unprofitable servant. The only thing that's going to matter is the conversation you and God have. Those words will slip into eternity. And everything else, it really doesn't matter. You are here at this church because God wants to use you here. There was Brother Spurgeon. You know who this is. You do know who Colonel Robert Howard is? Of the 101st Airborne? Colonel Robert Howard, the 101st Airborne, was the person that they based the movie Rambo off of. He was a Vietnam veteran that went, he was 101st Airborne, 5th Special Forces Group, MOA Special Operations Group, 30 Group, Special Operations, and then he served also command in Korea. In Vietnam, he won the Medal of Honor, the Distinguished Service, the Cross, the Silver Star, the Defense Superior Service Medal, the Legion Medal. He wrote 4 Legion Medals, 4 Bronze Stars, 8 Purple Hearts, 3 Meritorious Services, 3 Army Commendations, 3 Air Medals. He went back to Vietnam voluntarily. He won so many Purple Hearts, he even denied a couple of them. And one day, they interviewed this colonel. I'm serious, he had so many war stories, shot up, bleeding out, and told somebody, look, if you ain't gonna do nothing with that gun, give it to me. And he kept shooting while he was bleeding out. He was so famous, they made the movie Sylvester Stallone Rambo based off of him. But years ago, I was just going through a little bit of discouragement with my church. And I went to the camp meeting at Brother McFadden's. And Brother Humphreys got up and preached about this man. And Brother Humphrey gave his testimony. And when they asked this man, why did you go back to Vietnam and volunteer so many times? He said these words and never forgot it. He said, I went where I was needed. That's all. And the Holy Spirit of God said, you're in West Memphis because that's where I need you there. And you just stay there. If God puts you here, you just stay here. I'm done, preacher.